That's what I believe.
Amen. Luke 2 and 40, and you can stay seated because you've been up and down, up and down. Luke 2 and 40, and then skip down to the 52nd verse, but Luke 2, verse 40, and it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then you skip down to the 52nd verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word for the edifying of our souls. I just want you just to look around where you're sitting and just tell a few people around you, here I grow again.
Here I grow again.
Here I grow again. Come on, you got to speak that. Come on, tell them, here I grow again. Here I grow again. Grow again. I want to preach tonight a desire for growth. A desire for growth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Psalms 27, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. David was not just saying that, but he was stating a concept, a principle, a truth. That the thing that you really desire is the thing that you will seek after.
Amen.
The thing that is really in your heart, the thing that you really long after, the thing that is really valuable to you, is the thing that you will pursue. It is the thing that you will go after. Many of us, and I'm not talking about anybody that is not here tonight, just hear what I'm saying, but many of us are not in the assembly of the saints because really, it is not really in our heart's desire. It is not really something that is all that important to us. Where are we at? We are somewhere going after what is really important to us. Some of us, before we got saved on a Friday night, we would be somewhere in the club looking for somebody. I can't get no help. You were looking for somebody, or you were looking for something, or can I get a little help here? Whatever that inward desire, you couldn't wait to get off of work to go and change your clothes, get in your car and go after that thing. Many of us day to day, that's what we do. We go after the thing that we really desire. And I want to preach tonight in the congregation of the saints a desire for growth. I heard the first lady say that we can't make you hungry. Hallelujah. The scriptures say, blessed are they who hunger and who thirst. Hallelujah. Come on, say with me, blessed are they who hunger and who thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And I used to preach that all the time to myself, blessed are they who hunger and thirst. And then I had to start preaching, Lord, touch my spiritual appetite.
Amen.
Because, you know, I told the people in Delaware all the time, I've been around some good cooking. I mean, some people can really cook. And I'll sit there and I'll eat. and eat. And I'll eat. But after a while, no matter how good the food is, I gotta stop because I've lost the appetite. I'm full. And the Lord showed me how many of us can't receive anything from God because we're full on other things. You know, we've been pursuing other things all day long, all week long. We've got other desires. And when we come, the word of the Lord can be going forth. The spirit can be moving. And we walk out of service. And whatever they was in there all day doing and receive nothing. Because we're already filled. We don't have no desire for the. It was nice singing. It was nice preaching. Oh, nice words. But I couldn't receive anything because I had no spiritual appetite. So I started praying for a long time, Lord, touch my spiritual appetite. Because the Bible says one of the primary sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was they were idle and they had fullness of bread. They were full of worldly things. And so they couldn't receive from the things of God. So I'm going to talk again about the desire, hallelujah, for growth. Jesus. We preached about Jesus last night and talked about how he is our liberator. And there's so many more things we could say about Jesus. He's the one who forgives us of our sins. He is our righteousness. Hallelujah. He is our hope. He is our joy. He is all of those things. But also we cannot forget that Jesus is our example. He is our example. He is the one we should model our life after. Because not only was he 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus submitted to the growing process. Say with me, Jesus submitted to the growing process. Yes, because Jesus was born in a manger. But he did not die that way. He did not die a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He died as the anointed Savior, and he rose as a ruling king. How did he do that? He submitted to a growing process. When you look at other scriptures, when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, and you don't have to turn to those tonight, but you can just write it down, 1 Samuel 2 and 26, Samuel was an anointed man of God. But the Bible says that he wasn't always that way. He grew and he increased in wisdom and in stature. He became that. You talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost from the time he was in Elizabeth's womb. But the Bible says that John the Baptist went through the growing process. He increased, hallelujah, in stature and in favor and in the spirit. He grew. In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 22, you see Saul when he was converted and his name was changed to Paul. And the Bible says that he had received a call from God. The Bible says in verse 22 that Saul increased. I need you to look at that verse. Just look at Acts 9 and 22. Acts 9 and 22. Hallelujah. That Saul wasn't just an overnight wonder. He had a wonderful conversion experience. Hallelujah. But look at Acts 9, 22, because this is what God wants to do in you. This is what God wants to do in me. But Saul increased. Hallelujah. Somebody say Saul increased. Say, God wants me to increase. Hallelujah. Saul increased the more in strength to the point where he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. They knew that Christ was working in Saul's life because of the maturing and the growing and the increasing that was happening in Saul. So I want to encourage us today. I want to talk to us about a desire to grow. Because here we are again. September, getting into the church year. Some of us, are, you know, maybe you think you can think about the new year. But I want want you to think about this. Is this going to be a year or a time of growth for me? Or is this just going to be a time of aging? Because aging is not the same as growing. Some of us are just getting old. I don't mean no disrespect. Look to your neighbor and say, are you getting old? Or are you growing? A time does not mean that you are growing. The first thing church people like to say is, I've been in the church 50 years. With all due respect, so what? I can't get no help. It doesn't matter that you've been in the church 50 years. Are you growing? Just because I've been here, oh, I like to say this, just because you are sitting in the church does not mean you're a Christian. Just like if you go and sit in your garage, that does not make you a car. I can't get it. Sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car, and sitting in a church does not make you a Christian. And sitting in a church 20 years, 30 years, 40 years doesn't make you a mature Christian. Help us, Jesus. So a growth means that I make up in my mind that I'm not just letting time pass by, but I am developing. I am maturing. I am getting better. Come on, you speak that word to me. Say, I am getting better. I am growing. I am developing. I am maturing. You see, this is what God wants for us. But we have got to want it for ourselves. We must grow into the vision that God has for our lives. I say to people in Delray all the time, if we are in the same place this year that we were last year at this time, shame on us. You individually, if the same person can come the same way and say the same thing to tick you off, year after year, shame on you. All it took was somebody to walk by you and not speak, and you done turned into the devil. And they can do that same thing. 20 years, they've been doing that same thing. Still turn you into the devil. Somebody look at them and say, by now. Yeah, by now, things ought to be a little better. By now, the enemy should know I can't go that way with her no more. I can't try that with him. I did that last year. I did that 5 years ago. I did that 10 years ago. Yeah, that's old. That's old. I don't know what the young people say now when something's old and played out. What do they say? I don't know now. Yeah, old and played out. What's that? Throwback. Thank you. All right. Thank you. So do you say that's throwback, or what do you say? How do you use that in a sentence? I don't know how that goes. But it's old. It's old. So I want to tell you there's three things that we've got to do. If we want to grow, we want to get that desire to grow. And the first thing we have to do is we have to get some spiritual elasticity. We got to get some spiritual elasticity. You know, when we were children, when our parents maybe brought us a pair of pants, they had elastic in them. I can't get no help. That way, if I grow between the next time she wants to buy me some pants, I need some elasticity right now. I need some. If I grow some, I'll have some room. Can I get some help here? Elasticity makes room for growth. And some of us have no spiritual elasticity. Jesus said you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. You can't do that. When you look at that, the historians tell me that the wineskins were made of leather. That's right. And when you pour wine, new wine, into an old wineskin, you probably pour that new wine, when it ferments, it grows. If the old wineskin, you pour it into an old wineskin, it's not going to grow anymore. It's just going to break. So new wine has got to go into new leathers or new wineskins that will have some elasticity that will grow with you. And so when you get born again, you got to know that the Spirit is not going to let you stay the same. That you have to have some kind of elasticity. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I know this is the way I was, but I know that you're going to do something new in my life. I know you're going to change some things. I know you're going to rearrange some things. Look to your neighbor and say, you got to get some spiritual elasticity. You got to give a little bit. There's a scripture that goes with this. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. You know this well, but this talks about spiritual elasticity. And I'm going to try to move along. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And you know this. Some of us know this. Verse 13 and 14. And we can even just read 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that gives us elasticity. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, meaning I'm not there yet. I'm not where God wants me to be yet. Somebody say with me, God is not through with me yet. See, when we understand that God is not through with us, we don't have that mentality that I know everything. That I've been everywhere, that everything God has, I've already got it. I seen that 20 years ago. You can't tell me nothing. See, when you understand that God is not through with you, you've got some elasticity. You know there's some things that God still wants to do in your life. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I need for you to make that declaration, say, God is not through with me yet. And I need you to humble yourself and look to your neighbor and say, I know I may look good, but God is not through with me yet. And God is not through with you yet. I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul did some great things in ministry. He made some great triumphs. He came through great trials. Hallelujah. I wish I could preach about Paul. Done great things, but he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Watch this. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are. This all talks about elasticity, forgetting those things that are behind me. When you got elasticity, you don't let yourself get stuck in the past. You are not the person that you were yesterday. You may have made some bumbles. You may have made some stumbles. You may have done some terrible things. You may have been a terrible person. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and all old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And as I walk in Christ, every day is a new day for me. He's constantly remaking me. He's constantly renewing me. He's constantly doing great things in my life. So forgetting those things which are behind me. Hallelujah. I want to teach you a song that I sing to the devil every now and then when he tries to get me to stay stuck in my yesterday and stuck in my past. I like to tell him, devil, that's behind me now. Hallelujah. Can you just think about how the enemy tries to stick you in your past and tries to make you the person of your mistakes? Can you just say, devil, that's behind me. That's behind me now. So we can't be static if we're going to grow. We can't be stoic. We can't be stuck if we're going to grow. But he says, I forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forward Hallelujah. That reach forth talks about hoping. I'm still hoping. Say with me, I'm still hoping. Hallelujah. Wish I could preach on hope and hope. You're not hoping for anything if you already have it. That's not hope. Hoping is when you're still expecting to see things you haven't seen yet. Anybody still got some hope in Christ? Hallelujah. I haven't seen all the people I believe is going to get saved, say, but I'm still hoping for them. Seeing God move in a particular way I want him to move in Delaware, but I'm hoping for it. I'm still hoping. He said, I'm reaching forward to those things which are before me. I'm still hoping. If you've got elasticity, there's still some hope. You haven't seen everything God wants to do in you, but you are still hoping for it. I'm still hoping for total deliverance from some of those things, the enemy. I can't get no help. I'm still hoping for a miracle to work in my life. I'm still hoping for growth in my family and the people that are connected to me. I'm still hoping for increase. I'm still hoping for change. I'm still hoping for deliverance. I'm still hoping for a way up. I'm still hoping for a way out. I'm still hoping for deliverance. I'm still hoping for deliverance. I don't have it, but I'm still hoping for it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still hoping. Hope is a miracle. Hope is a miracle when all that's around you is death and dying and devastation. Somebody declare with me, I'm still hoping. Hallelujah. When I've got spiritual elasticity, I know how to forget those things that are behind me and hope and reach for those things. Hallelujah. Wish I had time. Reaching talks about faith. Reaching talks about, now I hope for it, I see it. Some of us, that's what we do. We just hope. But if you hope, then you got to have faith and reach for it. You can't just simply say, well, I'm hoping one day. No, if you hope it, then you got to, by faith, reach for it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, elbow them, especially if they look like they're going to sleep, and say, reach for it. Hallelujah. Reach for it. Listen, I'm talking about elasticity. I count not myself to have apprehended this one thing. I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So the first thing, I got to have elasticity. The second thing I have to do is I have to mind my eating habits. If I am going to keep a desire to grow, I have to watch my eating habits. Come on, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. I can tell people that want to grow. I know people that want to grow, and then people who just, they just joshing, they just kidding around. Here's a recipe for people who want to grow. 1 Peter 2. Hallelujah. Verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, here we go, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Did you see what that said? That if I want to grow, the first thing I got to do is I got to lay aside that old stuff. The being angry about nothing. You look at some people, they're just mad. Ain't nobody said nothing to them. Ain't nobody did nothing. Just mad. I got to lay that aside. Hallelujah. You see me with a smile on my face because I want to grow. Not that people haven't said nothing to me. Not that things haven't been a disappointment to me. Not that we haven't seen some hard days and some challenges. But I made up my mind, I'd rather grow in God. I got to get out of this place. And so I've got to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Watch this. As newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Hallelujah. When you really want to grow, then you start getting around the word of God. Hallelujah. Like we said today, no matter who's preaching or who's teaching, I can get something from all of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can listen to a little bit of TD. I can listen to a little bit of Joel Osteen. I can listen to whoever is there coming with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love it. It's feeding me. It is helping me to grow. They can squall it. They can preach it. They can teach it. They can cry it. They can do whatever. If it's the word of God, I can receive it and grow thereby. Hallelujah. So if I'm really serious about growing, hallelujah, Bishop Rowe, when you begin to see your people flocking more to Bible study and listening more to sermons and listening more in Sunday school, then you know they're serious about growing, because they have laid aside those other things and now they are minding their eating habits. Any doctor, any nutritionist can tell you, you are not going to grow properly if you are malnourished. So I've got to mind my eating habits. I've got to eat the right thing. What is it? The word of God. I can't mind all of that other stuff. Hallelujah. It's not that other stuff's not going on in the church, but I can't mind it. I can't worry myself with it. Oh, hallelujah. So, some of us know everything that's going on in the church. I'm the pastor. I don't know half of it. All the mess in the church, some of us know everything. We got to lay that stuff down and pick up the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Learn this. What I like to say, I don't know nothing about it. That's what I say. People come to me, I don't know anything about that. Oh, I must be talking to somebody here. Everybody sit there quiet. I don't know nothing about it. Come on, practice that. I don't know nothing about it. Grow. All I want to do is the word. Hallelujah. That's what I want to hear. You coming to me talking about the word, and not the word, I don't have no time. Wow. Just look in Jeremiah 15 and 16. Jeremiah 15 and 16. This is the last night. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 15 and 16. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Hallelujah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Hallelujah. Thy words were found. I was sitting in the service. I was sitting in a worship atmosphere. I was sitting in the church. I was sitting in Sunday school. But thy words were found. Hallelujah. And I didn't let them just go over my head, but I ate them. I took them. And when I let them in, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So we've got to change our eating habits. We can't eat the junk. We can't eat the malice. We can't eat the envy and talk about we're growing. We can't eat the hypocrisy. We can't eat what everybody else is eating and think we're going to grow. No, I've got to desire the sincere milk, hallelujah, of the word of God. Come on, profess with me. I've got to desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Hallelujah. Say it again. I've got to desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Hallelujah. So what do I need to grow? One, I need elasticity. Hallelujah. I need to be able to understand that God is not through with me yet. Though I've been here year after year, decade after decade, though they call me bishop or pastor or whatever they call me, God is not through with me yet. I need some elasticity in my spirit. I need some room to grow. I need some room to change. Secondly, I need to mind my eating habits. If I'm really concerned about growing, if I really mean to grow, I'm going to lay aside the malice. I'm going to lay aside the envy. I'm going to lay aside the hypocrisy. And I'm going to pray for the desire for the sincere milk of the word. And lastly, I've got to embrace change. Somebody said to me, I've got to embrace change. Say it again, I've got to embrace change. If I am going to grow, then I've got to embrace change. Now, it is true that I can change without growing. I understand that. But it is also true I cannot grow without changing. Saints, if God is going to cause us to grow and increase, then there's going to be some change somewhere. He can't be increasing us and all of our habits and all of our practices and all everything stays the same. No, as we increase, things about us change. I can't get no help in here. As we go from childhood to adolescence and adolescence to adulthood and from adulthood to our senior years, things change about us. It's funny how we start to grow and enlarge and increase, get tall, and then we start to shrink and get smaller. We change. There's constant change going on because we're growing, we're increasing. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Just look at that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know that. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye, look in there and say, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God if you are unwilling to change. You've got to be transformed. The caterpillar has got to go into that cocoon. I can't get no help here. If the caterpillar is going to reach his destiny, Sister Kelly, if the caterpillar is going to reach his destiny, Mother Albert, he's got to go into that cocoon. He's got to go into that time of change in order for him to come out a butterfly. That tadpole is going to have to go through some change if he's going to get some legs and hop on ground. He's got to go through that change. Hallelujah. So if I'm really going to grow, if I'm really going to desire for growth, I can't fight change. I can't fight God doing a new thing in me. Me having to put down things and put down people. When God causes change in your life, there's some people that will have been your friends for years. You're going to have to tell them, I can't talk to you no more. I can't get no help here. There's people with that you have been chatting and gossiping with all the day long. When God starts to do something with you, you're going to have to say something. I can't talk about that. Let's talk about something else. I'm just trying to help somebody. When God begins to do something with you, people you've been partying with, yes, some people still partying, people partying, you have to tell them, no, I can't go there. Go quiet. I'm going to preach anyway. You have to embrace that change. You have to say, the Lord is doing, hallelujah, something in me and is good. Somebody said to me, the Lord is doing something in me and is good. Hallelujah. Come on, just tell two or three people, the Lord is doing something in me and it's good. Hallelujah, it's good. Hallelujah. So I've got to embrace change. The Bible says that whom the Lord did foreknow, he predestinated. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his son. Every day, hallelujah, Pastor Desmond, every day I ought to be looking more and more like Jesus. Every day I ought to be looking more and more like him. I ought to be loving more and more like him. It's not no compliment to me for you to say, oh, Pastor Hardy, that's the same Pastor Hardy for the last 20, and that ain't no compliment. No, I want to be better. I want to be deeper. I want to be more spiritual. I want to look more like Jesus. I want to be able to love a little more. I want to be able to serve a little more. I want to be able to give a little more. Every day, I ought to look more like Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, every day, I ought to look more like Jesus. I want to be meek and lowly. So I've got to embrace. getting ready to close. But how do I grow? I grow through elasticity. I've got to have room in my spirit for growth. I've got to understand that God is not through with me yet. Come on and say, God is not through with me yet. Secondly, I've got to mind my eating habits. I can't eat just everything that comes across the table, but I've got to long for the sincere milk of God's holy word. Say yes. And then I've got to embrace change. I've got to understand that it's not going to be this way always, but I'm moving from glory to glory. I'm going higher and higher. I'm going deeper and deeper. Somebody say yes. I'm embracing change.